Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynam. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Hey listeners, today we are answering some super fun nature questions that you kids are asking. Did you know that when we ask questions about nature, it's kind of like being on a scavenger hunt looking for hints of God? The more we learn about buzzing bees, creeping caterpillars, and curious chipmunks, the more we understand about our Creator who made, knows, and loves us. Before we get to today's questions, I want to share a passage from the Bible with you that I really love. Listen closely to Job chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. But ask the animals, and they will teach you. Or ask the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Speak to the earth, and it will teach you. Or let the fish of the sea tell you. Every one of these knows that the hand of the Lord has done this. The life of every creature and the breath of all people are in God's hand. Let me ask you this. Do anteaters teach college classes? Do birds share Bible verses? Do fish sing worship songs? Of course they don't. But as creatures go about their lives, they bring glory to God. And as we learn about creatures, we discover truths about God. That is what this passage in Job means. Do you know who George Washington Carver was? He was a man who did very important work for God. He lived from 1864 to 1943 and was a scientist and educator. He understood how God designed soil and plants, and he helped many farmers grow important food. George Washington Carver wrote this about God's creation. Reading about nature is fine, but if a person walks in the woods and listens carefully, he can learn more than what is in books, for they speak with the voice of God. His words remind me of the passage that we read in Job 12. Listen to the animals, the birds and the fish. They have so much to declare about their Maker. So let's learn some new things about God's creation today. Before we do, let's thank our sponsor who made this special episode possible, Apologia. My kids and I find answers to many of our nature questions in Apologia's science courses. What I love most is that Apologia doesn't just give us the nature facts. They also point everything in creation, from the tiniest cells in the human body to the massive Milky Way galaxy, back to our Creator God. Apologia's award-winning curriculum and courses teach from a biblical worldview, nurturing faith and wonder, and giving students evidence for what they believe. With excellent courses for preschool through high school, you can start in any grade and discover new wonders each year. Our family has loved exploring marine biology, human anatomy, general science, earth science, and physical science with Apologia. Journey through creation with Apologia at apologia.com or at the link in our show notes. All right, let's answer some curious questions from you kids. Here is our first question.
My name is Azariah. I live in Ohio. I'm 7 years old. My question is, how do waves occur in the ocean?
That is a great question, Azariah. How do waves occur in the ocean? It is fun to jump and play in waves when you're at the beach. But how do those waves form? An ocean always seems like it is moving. There is so much energy in the ocean. Not only energy from kids and families running on the beach and swimming and playing, but energy in the water itself. Waves happen when energy moves through the water. This energy makes the water move in little circles, but the water itself does not travel all the way across the ocean. Instead, the energy moves through the water. In an ocean, the most common way that waves form is from wind. As wind blows across the water, energy from the wind moves into the water. This creates a wave crest, or the tall top part of the wave. As the crest moves forward, the water in front rises in a circular motion. The water behind the crest begins to fall, creating a trough, or the low part between waves. This happens over and over as the energy in the water moves forward, but the water itself mostly stays in the same place. When waves approach shallow water, the lower part of the wave slows down as it interacts with the seafloor. The top part of the wave keeps moving faster, causing the wave to topple over and crash into the shore. God created water, and the Bible tells us that God has power over the waves, even if the science behind waves can be a little bit difficult to understand at times. Thanks, Azariah. Here is our next question.
My name is Amory, and I'm 3 years old, and I live in Texas. And I'm wondering how sloth is so strong that it won't fall off a tree.
Good question, Emery. How are sloths so strong that they don't fall out of trees? I just love sloths. God designed sloths with exactly what they would need to live their lives hanging out in tree branches. I have a new word for you. Are you ready for it? Sloths are arboreal. Can you say that? Arboreal. Arboreal animals are animals that live most of their life up in trees. When you swing from the monkey bars at the park, your hands probably get tired pretty quickly. That is because God did not design the muscles in our hands to be clenched up tight for very long periods of time. When your hands are relaxed and you're not using them, what do they look like? They're probably open and resting flat, right? Well, God designed a sloth's hands to do the opposite. A sloth's hands are relaxed in a closed position. Its fingers clench up tight, so it's easy for their hands to stay wrapped around a tree branch. Sloths can keep their muscles tight and longer than many other animals. In addition to their closed hands, sloths also have long, curved claws that help them hang onto tree branches. So when sloths are hanging from a tree, they really are as relaxed as they look. God gave a slow sloth the right tools to stay suspended in the trees. If you are curious about sloths, make sure to listen to Lesson 32. Why do sloths hang upside down? It's one of my favorite Nat Theo lessons. You can find it at the link in our show notes. Thanks, Emery. Here is our next question.
Hi, my name is Jenna, and I'm 10 years old. I live in Maryland, and my question is, how much do clouds weigh?
That's a really good question, Jenna. How much do clouds weigh? You might think that clouds are as light as a feather, since they float so high up in our atmosphere. But clouds are made up of tiny water droplets, and sometimes even ice crystals. One cloud can contain millions, billions, or even trillions of these tiny droplets all spread out through the air. A cloud may look solid to us from the ground, but it is really made up of tiny drops of water floating in the air. If you have ever carried a large bucket of water, you know that water is heavy. So it might not seem like tiny water droplets weigh much, but all put together, they do. We can't exactly place a cloud on a scale, so it's hard to weigh one. Scientists have only been able to estimate how much a cloud might weigh. One estimate is that a cumulus cloud might weigh about 1.1 million pounds, or around 500,000 kilograms. That's the same weight as about 250 cars. That is very heavy. How can that much weight float? The water droplets in a cloud are super tiny and spread out across a huge area. the particles in the dry air below a cloud are closer together, causing the air below the cloud to be heavier than the cloud itself. This allows the cloud to float on top of the dry air. When the water droplets inside a cloud get too heavy to stay floating, they fall, causing rain or snow. Clouds provide us with shade from the hot sun, rain to water the grass and plants, and in some parts of the world, beautiful, sparkling snow to play in. God's design in clouds is amazing. Thanks, Jenna. Here is our next question.
Hello, my name's Waylon. I am 7 years old. I live in Minnesota. I want to know, why do animals lick their wounds?
Good question, Waylon. Why do animals lick their wounds? What do you get when you get a cut or a scrape? Your parent or caregiver probably helps you clean dirt and bacteria out of the wound. You might also put a Band-Aid or medicine on it to help it heal. Well, animals can't use Band-Aids or wash their wounds with soap and water, so they need a different way to treat their injuries. God designed them with the instincts to lick their wounds. Licking helps clean out dirt and other debris. Scientists believe that licking a wound might also help relieve the animal's pain. For example, dogs will sometimes obsessively lick their paws if they have allergies and their skin is itchy. Licking helps them relieve the discomfort, though if they lick too much, they could cause more harm. Some research also shows that an animal's saliva might have healing properties that help a wound mend faster. God designed animals with what they need for their wound to heal, even without medicine and Band-Aids. Thanks, Waylon. Here is our next question.
Hi, my name is Addie. I'm 10 years old. I live in Georgia, and I want to know why there are colors in sunrises and sunsets. Thank you.
Thanks for your question, Addie. Why are the colors in a sunset or sunrise so beautiful? I love watching sunrises and sunsets. When I was a young girl, I remember one day I was riding my bike around our neighborhood. I was with my friends and we stopped to talk with a neighbor. He and his wife were in the front yard, and at one point he pointed up to the sky. It was about sunset, and he pointed and he said, "Look at that. Every evening, God paints the sky for us." I think of that often when I'm watching sunsets or sunrises because they're so beautiful. A colorful sunrise or sunset is truly a beautiful display of God's creativity. But what makes all of those colors appear in the sky at certain times of the day? Sunlight looks white, but it is actually made of many colors traveling together. As sunlight moves through the Earth's atmosphere, it bumps into tiny gas molecules in the air. These molecules scatter the light, sending it in different directions and helping us to see the individual colors of sunlight. During the day, the sky looks blue because blue light scatters more easily than most other colors. This scattered blue light spreads across the sky, making the sky look blue. At sunrise and sunset, the sun is low in the sky. Its light has to travel through more of the Earth's atmosphere before it reaches our eyes. Much of the blue light gets scattered away, allowing more red, orange, and yellow light to reach our eyes. That is why sunrises and sunsets often glow with warm colors. God created light on the first day of creation. That light causes all of the beautiful colors of the sunrises and sunsets that we get to enjoy. If you want to learn more about God's creation of light, check out lesson 109, What is Light, at the link in our show notes. Thanks, Addie. Here is our next question.
Hi, my name is Hazel, and I'm 7 years old, and I'm from California, and this is my question. Why is Bart's poop white?
That is a good and kind of funny question, Hazel. Why is a bird's poop white? It's funny you asked this question because my dear friend Jill, who is also our biologist here at Nat Theo, she just taught me the answer to this question on a recent hike together. If your parents or caregivers have ever parked their car under a tree, you've probably come out to a windshield splattered with bird droppings. It can be gross and difficult to wash off. God designed birds to get rid of waste in a special way. Most animals have separate exits for pee and poop, but for birds, they get rid of both kinds of waste at the same time through one exit called the cloaca. The white, chalky, paste-like part of a bird's droppings is their form of urine or pee. A bird's liver converts nitrogen waste into uric acid. Then, as the uric acid moves through the bird's body, other chemicals and minerals are added. The uric acid and other minerals are what makes a bird's urine white. So the white, paste-like stuff you see is not actually bird poop, but the dark green or gray or brown part of the bird droppings, usually in the middle of the white stuff, is the bird's feces or poop. When you see bird poop on your car's windshield or on a picnic bench, you're actually seeing both types of waste. Thank you, Azariah, Emery, Jenna, Waylon, Addie, and Hazel. Those were some very fun nature questions. I love hearing what you kids are curious about. Did you know that your curiosity can inspire other people to explore God's wild and wonderful world? When I meet people who are interested in nature, I'm always inspired to go out and explore. So the next time you are playing with friends, maybe suggest going outside to play and see what you can find in God's creation. Remember from Job 12, the animals, birds, fish, and all of God's creation reveals our great Creator. So let's go learn more about God as we stay curious, keep asking questions, and never stop exploring. Thank you so much for listening to this special episode. If you enjoyed it, please take a moment to send it to a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all alone.